The Old Testament reading is taken from Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 to 14. Exodus chapter 32, 1 to 14. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I'll give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" Then the Lord relented and did not bring his people the disaster he had threatened. This is the end of the lesson. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 1 through to verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 1 through to verse 9. Let us hear the word of God. "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, how these women who have contended at my side in the course of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here ends the reading of the lesson. Thanks be
to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 22, reading at the first verse. Glory be to you, O Lord. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, the first 14 verses. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to dare them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatting cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wearing clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Beloved, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to you, Christ. Please sit. By the grace of God, by his grace alone, we set aside today to educate ourselves on Ebola disease and a brief dissertation on cholera. This is biblical. It is biblical. So to set the ball rolling, I've selected two scripture readings from the Bible, the good book, which talks about health education, our health. The first one is from Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." So we should not be wise in our own thoughts. No, we need wisdom. We need education, so that it will bring health to our bodies and nourishment to our bones. And the second one is from 3 John 1, verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. I pray that you may enjoy good health. And then two important quotes from two famous people, personalities. And the first one is from an ancient Greek poet called Menander. And he says, health and intellect are the two blessings of life. Health and intellect are the two blessings of life. So if you acquire wisdom, knowledge about something, it's a blessing. Because you protect yourself. Through that, it will help you to protect yourself. And the last quote is from a medical doctor, a chiropractor in Lakewood, Colorado. This man provides back pain relief using a variety of physical therapy. Dr. Ron Sparon. He says, the hospitals and graveyards are filled with those who refuse to acknowledge the virtues of physical morality. A wonderful saying, a wonderful quote. The hospitals and graveyards are filled with those who refuse to acknowledge the virtues of physical morality. It's very, very important. For lack of wisdom, my people perish. So what we're going to do now is very, very expedient. Very, very important for our souls and bodies. Please join me to welcome the team of doctors led by Dr. Gloria Asare. Let's give them a big round of applause as they go through the things of Ebola. Oh, let's give them, we can do better, we can do better than that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father. Good morning, my distinguished brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm here to give this these two presentations, and I'm doing it on behalf of all the medical and health personnel of Accra Red Church. A lot of them have contributed to this. I will make the presentation, and then when it comes to questions and answers, they will all assist in answering the questions. So we'll talk about Ebola. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. So what is the Ebola disease? It's Ebola virus disease. This is a very severe and often fatal illness. And let me apologize because the screens are very small. If it was one big screen, you would have seen everything. So bear with me. I'll try and let you know everything that is on the screen, even if you can't read it. And we'll leave soft copies. Sorry. It is a serious illness, and it can kill up to 90% of those who are infected. It is one of the world's most virulent diseases, and it spreads from person to person once it gets into the human, it gets among humans, and it can easily kill, but it can also be prevented. The first Ebola case appeared in 1976. There were two simultaneous outbreaks in Sudan and Democratic Republic of Congo. And the latter, Democratic Republic of Congo, is situated near the Ebola River. So that is where the disease takes its name. Next. So that thing like a ribbon there, that's the virus that causes, it's the Ebola virus. It looks like a ribbon, but it's very bad virus. It is among a family. This is magnified several times. It is among a family of viruses called Filoviridae, and there are about 5 strains. And viruses are very versatile. They change from time to time and from epidemic to epidemic. So we have the Budimbugyo Ebola virus, then Resting Ebola virus, Sudan Ebola virus, Zaire Ebola virus, and Thai Forest Ebola virus. And then we have the Marburg virus. They are all from a similar family. They are cousins. That the resting Ebola virus, that does not cause disease in man. So they are all given the common name Ebola. And it causes Ebola hemorrhagic fever. It means that it's a fever with bleeding tendencies. The person can bleed from the fever. And this is the Ebola River. That is the river in Zaire where the first case occurred. And it is named, the disease is named after the river. Next. Recent studies have indicated that bats may be the reservoir of the Ebola virus. So we have how the Ebola virus occurs. We have the part in the tropical rainforest where the bats get infected. The infected bats infect the animals in the forest through fruits, droppings, and other means, bites and other means. So when the bat infects the animal gets sick because the animal is not the common reservoir. The bats do not appear sick, but the animals get sick. And then people who go into the forest encounter these dead animals or find a weak animal and kill it and bring it home, or befriend it and bring it home. And then it spreads from human to human. Once it gets into the human race, it spreads from human to human. Next. So this is a similar picture, but it's showing the bat with dotted lines directly to the man. That has not been really proven yet, but it is potentially possible. So that is why the arrow from the bat to the man is there. But it's the same picture I showed you. It happens in the forest, and then it comes from someone who encounters a sick animal. Next. Next. So these are where the epidemics started, in Democratic Republic of Congo, Sudan, and then it moved to Uganda, Gabon, Central Republic of Africa, and then we had an isolated epidemic in Côte d'Ivoire. But this year, in 2014, we have had an outbreak in West Africa, and it's been a very serious outbreak. Next. Starting from Guinea and then going to Sierra Leone, Liberia, and moving across to Nigeria, Senegal, and other places. The small yellow table over there is showing us how virulent or how the disease has killed people in the various areas. So we can see that in Guinea, as at 3rd October, they had 1,119 cases, out of which 739 died, so 66% died. Liberia have had a fatality rate of 54%, Sierra Leone 25%, Nigeria, out of the 20 that got infected by the case from Liberia, 8 died, so that is 40%. In Senegal, they had one case and it was contained. The person didn't die, so it's 0. In the USA, as at 3rd October, they had one case brought in of a doctor brought in who didn't die. But just last week, the Liberian man who went to Texas has died. So the disease spreads that way. And we can see that it can be from 25% to 90%. And it depends a lot on the strain and also on the response of the health system. So how do people get infected? We get infected by direct contact with body fluids like blood, stool, urine, saliva, sweat. Sweat is very important. Semen and tears, any body fluid that we can think about. When a person is exposed, we have what we call the incubation period. So that's from the time that the person gets in contact with the virus to the time that the virus multiplies in the body to present a disease or symptoms of a disease. And it takes 2 to 21 days. That's the incubation period. But it's usually around 8 to 10 days. Most of them occur between 8 to 10 days. The person would have shown symptoms. Once the patient has symptoms, then they become contagious. If they don't have symptoms, they will not spread the disease. But once they have symptoms, then they are contagious. Next. So when we say somebody, a patient must have the symptoms to spread the disease. If a person is a contact, we have to trace that person, take their temperature morning and evening, for 21 days. If after 21 days the person does not develop the symptoms, then the person did not get the disease. Next. So these are the figures in graph of the various numbers in the countries, Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone. Nigeria is very little down there. You can't even see the color. Then the next graph is a similar graph, but in a line format. The top purple line is showing the total cases. In the Uganda case, the way the illness presents is shown in the picture. First, there are some early stage symptoms, which I don't know whether you can differentiate the colors, but it is headache, sore throat, and very importantly, a high-grade fever from more than 38 degrees Celsius fever. And the person has some muscle pain. Then as the disease progresses, the person has the bleeding tendencies, and then they have weakness, joint pains, vomiting, diarrhea, chest pains, and then organ failure. The liver or the kidney can fail. The person can go into coma, have jaundice or anything, depending on the organ that has been affected. And the bleeding is internal and external. Internal we will not see, but external you will see bleeding from orifices. Next. So this is an example of the person with the early illness, very weak. Then as it progresses, the other symptoms come in. And Ebola virus disease can only be confirmed by laboratory tests. Thank you. We have to distinguish between fevers. We have a lot of fevers in our midst. So we have meningitis, we have typhoid fever and malaria, cholera, has also some fever and diarrhea, hepatitis, and then we have the viral hemorrhagic fevers, other fevers like yellow fever. We have all of that in our system, so it's very difficult, and we have to be very careful in distinguishing. And in Ghana, tests are done at Noguchi Memorial Institute of Medical Research at Legon, at no cost to the patient. Once a case is suspected, the blood is drawn under very stringent conditions and sent there. So once we all have to kindly alert the inform health authorities of any patients within the above history who has recently traveled to or from the affected areas or been in contact with someone who has had Ebola. Now, these are some of the pictures, some of the symptoms. The man is bleeding from the mouth. The gentleman is bleeding on the eyes, conjunctiva, and the skin. Next. This one is very terrible. It starts with a rash on the face when it's getting very bad. It starts with a rash on the forehead, extends to the neck, and then to the limbs. And that man looks very bad, but that is how it looks. And then that's how the limbs also become. Next. So the community should be on alert of anybody with an unexplained fever with bleeding tendencies who fits into the case we have said or who has died suddenly from any of these symptoms. And we have had a few of these and we have tested them, but they are all negative. So when should someone seek medical care? As soon as the symptoms develop, the person has to seek medical care if he or she has been in an area with Ebola or has been in contact with someone with Ebola. The report to the nearest health facility. It is known that the prompt treatment improves the chances of survival. It is important to start infection control and prevention procedures immediately from the home and also to be observed in the facilities. And the earlier we seek care, the better. There is no specific treatment or vaccine yet available. And the severe cases require intensive supportive care. We have to give the person a lot of fluids, oral rehydration solutions containing electrolytes, and also some nutritional supplementation and treatment of all the complications, as well as psychosocial support, because they get very, it's very depressing to have Ebola. Now, Ebola, the next one. The person suspected to have Ebola should go to the nearest facility. Even though there is no specific treatment, we have to really do that. And the intensive care improves our chances, the chances of survival. The person should not be in the house. And in the facilities, we isolate them. We have to isolate any suspected cases and then also have a place where, when the cases are confirmed, they can have the definitive treatment. So the health staff who care for the patients must wear what we call personal protective equipment, and it consists of goggles, masks, gloves, head cover, gowns, and then aprons. And they are all not something that liquids can pass through. They are very warm to be in. And the relatives should also use gloves when transporting a sick person. In case one has to transport a sick person, if you don't have gloves, you can put on something to cover your some plastics to reinforce and cover your skin. And then there is research going on the vaccine. And there's some work on treating people with serum from people who have recovered from Ebola. That is also on a research basis. The people who are most at risk during an outbreak are health workers, and then the families and contacts of those who have been infected, and then mourners who have had direct contact with the bodies of the deceased person or are part of the burial ceremony. We have a lot of things that we do with the dead when they die, if the undertakers and all the other things that happen. Then hunters in the rainforest who come into contact with the animals, and then sometimes pick them and bring them home. They are all at high risk. If we have a health system that is not able to provide the best hygienic practices, then there will be a big risk. So we have to prevent our facilities from being like this. Otherwise, someone who doesn't have Ebola will also now be at risk. So this is something we don't have to see, we don't want to see. And the gentleman, may he rest in peace, Dr. Sheikh Umar Khan, who died in Sierra Leone after treating 100 Ebola victims, said, "I am afraid for my life." And then he died. The most at-risk persons, again. In August 2014, Ebola virus disease was in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This index case was a pregnant woman from a village who butchered a bush animal that had been killed and given to her by her husband. So the husband brought the animal, and the woman prepared the animal for food. And then she died after an unidentified hemorrhagic fever, bleeding with fever, on August 11. And then there were local customs. The woman was pregnant. They had to remove a baby from the body. And so the people in the mortuary who all worked on that without much precaution, not knowing what it was, and all the health workers and others who dealt with her body were exposed, and they got the disease the following week. The Nigerian case was linked to a traveler from Liberia who was hospitalized, and the infections occurred for all those who cared for him very closely. And we had deaths, even of Dr. Adadivo. May she rest in peace. The German missionary, Spanish nurse, Liberian who traveled to USA are all people who have been in contact with someone with a disease. Now we ask, if the bat is the host, the reservoir, are we safe with all the bats around in our cities and also from eating bats, since bats are eating? Next. There is a risk for bush meat handling, and it is important that we talk about that. We have a radius of people along Ashanti, Eastern, and Volta and Afram plains who eat a lot of bush meat and some bats in that area. And so we can see the woman happily there. She's not selling bats. She's selling other bush meat like Akrantia and others. And we have to be very careful how we prepare this bushmeat. If it is well prepared and cooked, there's very little risk to the consumer, but the person who prepares it is also at risk. And if we have a lazy hunter or someone who goes and just picks a dead animal and brings it, then we are in trouble. Next. So we have to prevent infection and passing it around, we have to understand how the disease is transmitted and seek early help. And it is really not recommended for people to be treated at home if we suspect that there are cases of Ebola. And we should practice safe burial practices. In fact, when someone dies of Ebola, they are not given to the family. They are buried by the health staff. And then we have to reduce contact with these high infected animals. So we practice what we call infection control, which is the standard precautions, and that is recommended in the care and treatment of all patients, regardless of their perceived or confirmed infectious status. It means that we have to be very stringent about taking care of people, even generally in our facilities. And we have the basic level, which is the hand hygiene, use of protective clothing and gloves, prevention of being stuck by needles and instruments as the health professionals do their work. And then the environmental controls are the burial and then the disposal of other wastes and materials. So in the absence of treatment and human vaccine, awareness on risk factors and protective measures is what we can use to reduce human infection and death. So during the outbreaks, awareness messages focus on reducing wildlife to human transmission and human to human transmission. In Ghana, we have not yet recorded a confirmed case of Ebola. We are thankful to God for that. As of 14th August, we had 57 suspected cases reported from 9 regions, and all were negative. They tested negative for Ebola and other hemorrhagic fevers by tests done at Noguchi. We are using the Ebola containment plan according to WHO guidelines. And then we also have governing bodies and committees at the various levels, at headquarters level. Then there's the interministerial one, and then there's something also from the Office of the President. So there are various committees that are handling the response. That building there is the tent that has been completed for TEMA, the Isolation Treatment Center. It was completed last week. And we have to have one more in Kumasi and one more in Tamale. We are working on that. But in the meantime, every facility has to identify an isolation place until the tests come, and then if someone is positive, we come and treat them there. Then we have, as at September 30th, the numbers of samples have been 103, and they have all tested negative. And when you hear the suspected cases, it's so frightening, and you see that people have come from a long way, interacted with many people. Health workers may not have practiced the utmost infection prevention practices, and we all sit on edge waiting and hoping that the results will be negative. So we are educating ourselves to make sure that we do the basic infection prevention practices. So when we should avoid direct contact with body fluids from a person suffering from Ebola. And then when we are even in those clothing, we should not touch our body and our face while in the gloves. Some people rub their eyes or try to wipe off sweat, and that is also a potential of sending it into the mucous membranes. We do not have to shake hands with persons showing signs of Ebola or even hug people showing signs of Ebola. We have to disinfect the beddings and clothing of an infected person, and sometimes we even have to burn them. We have to wash our hands regularly with soap under running clean soap and water, under running clean water. And persons suspected to be suffering from Ebola should be taken immediately to the nearest facility for proper management. Next. Persons who have died from Ebola must be handled with using strong protective wear and buried immediately under the strict supervision of the health and environmental health officers. We should wash our hands with soap under running water after handling the body and also use some disinfectant. We should avoid washing our hands in a common bowl during funeral rites and other public gatherings. This is a health worker washing their hands. So hand washing is very important in Ebola and other diseases. So we wash our hands frequently. It's one of the best ways to stay healthy. When a person is sick with Ebola, ideally, if you are not gloved or clothed, you have to be about 3 feet, 1 meter away from that person. You shouldn't be too close to the person, even though it doesn't come through breathing particles or even in food. But just the touch of the body fluids is enough. If you have a broken skin that you are not aware of, or if it falls into a mucous membrane area. So the face, people who pick their nose and rub their eyes often, we have to be careful. And if we are sick, we should not travel or go to work or meet with others. That is the responsibility of everyone who may be suspecting that they have Ebola. Even after death, the virus is contagious in the fluids for days. So the burial has to be with extreme caution, and all waste has to be incinerated. And we should revisit our cultural practices and religious beliefs. And people are not even allowed to perform the rites when these things happen. And then we have to avoid contact with the bushmeat, avoid eating dead animals, especially monkeys. And we should wear gloves when working on the meat, the bush meat, whether they are dead or alive. And then we should cook them well, very thoroughly. Once we cook them thoroughly, it will be safe for consumption. This is a synopsis of all the things that we can do in the poster there. Avoiding contact, washing our hands regularly, using gloves when working with an infected person, and then handling animals with gloves until we have cooked them very well. Next. So these are the key facts. Ebola viral disease is a very severe hemorrhagic fever. It can kill up to 90% of those who are infected. It usually starts in the remote villages and tropical rainforests, but lately with travel and all the things that we can, technology, it can move around to anywhere in the world. Transmission is from wild animals to man and human to human through the body fluids. The natural host is the fruit bats, and there's no licensed treatment or vaccine. There's only supportive care, and the better the supportive care, the better the survival. The earlier we see the people, the better. This is the poster. We'll be leaving copies here, which is summarizing all the things that we have said and some telephone numbers. We are trying to get some better, easier to remember telephone numbers. We are working with the communication networks. Next. So this is technology. It makes Ebola so close. And that is far away in America, maybe President Obama and others, and then WHO, who are a bit far. And then Ebola is coming there. That's the Ebola. And it's traveling. And unfortunately, it's not only going through the airports, it's also going through the our ports, and even fishermen are picking others from around. So we have to be very careful. So the Bible says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Education, education, education. And then we have to all monitor for early detection. Everybody has a role to play in this. So those who have the privilege to know have the responsibility to act. So once you have heard about this, it means that you also have knowledge. So let's share our knowledge and clarify any doubts so that we can prevent Ebola from coming to Ghana. We'll move to cholera. Okay.
Brief.
Yes. Thank you. Cholera, we all know about cholera. That is caused by a bacterium called Vibrio cholera. That is not a virus. And that is people contract it through drinking water or food that contains this cholera bacterium. And flies can also spread cholera. So it is found, the germs are found in the feces of infected people, and when this goes into water or food inadvertently, people eat it and then or drink and then they get the disease. But it's not spread from person to person only through food and drink. So cholera presents as painless diarrhea. Sometimes they say the stools are rice water. And it is linked to poverty and bad or poor environmental sanitation and lack of safe drinking water. It has a very short incubation period. Between 2 to 3 days, a person who has been in contact will show symptoms of the disease. It can be treated easily. And we have to prevent dehydration by giving fluids and then treat with antibiotics. The earlier one seeks for help, the better. And so the cholera situation in Ghana, is that in the world, is that millions, there are millions of cases of cholera each year around the world. But in Ghana, in Ghana, we have had the spread in the world. Since 1817, cholera has been around in the world. In Ghana, we had our first case in 1970 when a Togolese national collapsed at Kotoka International Airport, and he had cholera. And the map shows how cholera has been all around the world and has also come. Once in Ghana, we are having the cholera outbreaks almost every 4 to 6 years, and it coincides with the rainy seasons where there is actually flooding and mixing of fecal material and water that comes for human consumption if it's not well treated. Next. So we have had several major outbreaks, but let's go to the map. So we can see that the spikes are the outbreaks. You always have a little around, but when it goes beyond a certain threshold, then we have epidemics. So we've had epidemics in 1982, and so almost every 4 to 6 years. The last epidemic we had was in 2012. 2013 was quiet. Now 2014, we've shamefully had over 20,000 cases with the starting from Greater Accra. From 2011, Greater Accra seems to have been, even in Accra Metropolitan, that's where the cases have originated from most of the time, and especially in the rainy season. Next. So you can see that by 2015, the dots have become so many that it is such a shame. That is the 20,000 we are seeing. It's not only in Accra. The 20,000 is all over, but Accra had the highest. Next. So the current outbreak started in June this year, and out of the 20,000 cases, 164 cases have died from cholera, and it has spread to 101 districts in 9 regions. And upper northern region is the only region that has not reported a case in this outbreak, and it moves from place to place. The person who sent it to WA recently was a student from UDS who traveled to Accra. He went back and he had cholera. So it moves from Accra to Kasua to Afram Plains. Anywhere people are traveling from the focus, they send it around. Please, can we move on? Next. So these are the cholera cases in Ghana, and it's showing the cases and the deaths. And we can see that we are able to contain it in most of the regions. Abraham-Hafu has the worst. 5% or 6% of the cases are dying. So we have to strengthen our case management there. And so these are maps. This is for the whole of Ghana. The epidemic is going down. We are coming to the end of the epidemic. Next, please. And this is for Accra, Greater Accra. Next. So this is the map of Ghana showing where the cholera outbreak has been in 2014. The dots are showing how deep or how many people are there. This is showing the age distribution. It's shown that men are having it more than women, and the age, because they eat outside sometimes. But women are also having it. So don't worry. Women are also having it. So it's not a respecter of anyone, okay? And then it's mostly in the ages of 10 to 49. They are the people who go out to work and eat and do all kinds of things. Yes, so we'll say that Most of the cases have been associated with people who have drunk street-vended sachet water, or people eating outside, or people who have eaten home-prepared food have less of a risk. Yes. And then those who don't wash their hands, that's also a big problem. Now look at the environmental degradation we have. Broken pipes, people defecating in the drains, and places without toilets. Next. Then that's again the dumping sites. And then this is a pipe, water pipe carrying water to somebody's house. It's passing through a gutter. So these are the things that are causing the trouble. And in the early outbreaks at the Industrial Revolution in the 1817s, it was happening in Britain, and they corrected all of this, and they don't have any cases now. So we have a chance to also do that. So we have a national response, and then we have responses in the region too. National, we have a big committee with NADMO and things. We get the resources and we do some of the education, but the work happens in the regions, in the districts, and it's not just the health sector, but it's with all the sectors, especially the environmental district assemblies and municipal assemblies. They are also charged to enforce the bylaws and make sure that buildings and things have toilets and potable water. So we have a lot of challenges in the country. The poor personal hygiene, the risk of food vendors by gutters, etc. Next. And then we have inadequate cholera treatment centers. And then people are even sitting on benches sometimes receiving drips. And when people visit their relatives in the hospitals and there isn't much infection prevention, they are able to get the cholera by handling their things and also not washing their hands. So these are some of the congested centers we can see over there. Next. Yes, that's a girl taking a drip on the chair. Next. So the key areas for the outbreak control is to have community education and social mobilization. Then we should look for the cases and manage them and trace their contacts. We have to supply safe water to the affected communities and give them aqua taps. We've given some of them aqua taps to sanitize the water that they are having, which doesn't look very safe. So that makes the water safer for consumption. And then we should have adequate sanitation facilities, and we should improve food hygiene and our personal hygiene practices. So next. So the messages are here. We have to wash our hands, drink boiled or chlorinated water, wash our hands often, use proper latrines, and also keep our toilets clean, and cook food thoroughly, and buy and eat only hot food, and wash our vegetables and fruits, which we cannot cook. We should wash them very well. Next. So that is... next, please. Next. So together, let us work to bring cholera to an end. It's a shame to be having cholera in such proportions at this time of our development when we are supposed to be a middle-income country. Thank you very much.
Oh, we can do better than that. We can do better than that. We shall take some few questions. Science President, please have the microphone ready. Please take some few please. Questions and be, yes, please be snappy.
Thank you. As I said, I'm being supported by all the health workers here, the doctors and the health workers here. Dr. Timothy Achampong, Prof. Matekole, Prof. Ofuria J. I can see Dr. Aba there. All the doctors here and the nurses and midwives, please, if they ask the questions, help me to answer. So if some of you can come here so that you can answer the questions. Thank you.
We take three questions at a time. Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank the doctor for the presentation. I have only two short questions. The first one is on bats. My house is invaded by quite a number of them. I have a few mango trees which are fruiting now, and they are being invaded by these bats. Now, how safe are the mango fruits? Yeah.
And the second question.
The second one is, I wonder whether you would agree with me that a recommendation should be made to the council of the church to temporarily suspend hugging and shaking hands during the sermon period, during the church period. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
I want to know how the health workers take off their protective clothing, because I'm informed that the nurse in Spain took off her protective clothing without supervision. Thank you.
Thank you.
The third question. Okay, let's go back there. And we'll come.
Please, can the doctors come and help?
Thank you. I'd like to know if somebody can die before the symptoms are seen. Is it possible that somebody can die suddenly before the symptoms are identified?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. 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 Yes, Father.
Please, can we have some assurances about the handling of our domestic animals?
Let's move here.
Thank you very much. Mine is about the cure that has been used successfully. Whether it is true or whether it is a myth, that the cure that was used for the two Americans who were evacuated only works on white people. Thank you.
You go back to the choir store. The choir store. Okay, and then the choir store, then we take the question.
Just one practical question. I live in Adabraka. Supposing that there are symptoms of Ebola, where do I go?
To the choir store.
Thank you. Please, can the doctors help? I'll start, but please come forward.
Please, doctors, come forward and help. Yes, please.
Yeah, mine is a comment. Recently, about 3 weeks ago, there was no water, and I kept on calling Ghana Water Company. Finally, they said, because of the dumso, they can't pump water. And I asked them, so you mean with this cholera going around, you can't liaise with ECG to give you power to make sure everybody has water, because we all need water for good sanitation.
Thank you. Doctor will try to take let's go to Nana Brubatla. That's where then we take the question. Nana Brubatla, then we take the answers.
Thank you very much. Please.
Nana Brubatla, then we take the questions.
Thank you.
Then we take the answers.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to commend the church hierarchy and also the authorities, I mean the health sector and I believe the government. Because I got in last week, Saturday, through the VVIP, and there was a nurse taking my temperature, giving me a card to complete, very thorough, asking where I'd come from. Of course, I hadn't been to any of those places. I've been to Europe. But that was very commendable. My question, how effective are the soaps and the sanitizers? How effective are they? If I shake hands with somebody who is infected, how would that prevent it? Thank you.
We'll try and provide answers to the questions. Doc, and please come forward, Dr. Sepple. You can take
any of the questions and answer.
Hello. My question is that not so long ago there was...
Hold on, please. No, let's take the last question. Yes, please.
I'm a problem.
Yes, please.
There was something in the newspaper that the alum, which should be used for purifying, to purify the water for all of us, had expired. Now, are we getting the cholera through infected water or only through sanitation? That's my first question. Now, the next question is, when a person dies with the Ebola viruses, how long does it take the viruses to die underground?
Thank you. You will provide answers, please. Do that, Professor.
Thank you, Church, for my colleagues here. Professor Ofori-Je here sitting down here a few years ago gave a lecture at the West Africa College of Physicians about the viruses. We human beings think we are wise, but the viruses are also wise. They change their ways, and they are thinkers like human beings. So some years ago, the Surgeon General of the United States said that human beings have finished with the viruses and bacteria, and that there will be no more infections. But that was a lie. So this Ebola thing, particularly the Ebola thing, is telling us that we should be careful, because there are things beyond us that we cannot control. That's my first comment. I think my colleague will answer the other question.
Thank you very much. Okay, the questions are many, and we probably may not be able to answer all, but we'll do our best with what we can. About the fruits, the mangoes, I know the environmental people are tracking some of these bats. They are testing them regularly to see those who are Ebola reservoirs for the Ebola and those which are not. But I think that the teaching is to avoid any fruits that have been touched by the bats. If the bats are coming to the tree and eating the fruit of it, you are better off avoiding those fruits. I think it's better to be safe than sorry. For the one who took off the PPEs, the lady who took off the protective equipment without being careful, we have the benefit of learning from what is happening in Sierra Leone and Liberia. There are strict rules about how to take care of Ebola patients, and you must stick to the rules. You do not take care of Ebola patients alone. There must always be at least two of you taking care of the patients, and you police each other. If you're alone and you're sweating, it's very easy to raise your hand with your gloves and wipe the sweat off your forehead. Somebody will hold your hand and say no. Okay? And then when you are removing the PPE, you are supervised. You do not remove it under supervision. If you do not know how to remove the PPE, you do not put it on. It is in the taking off that the health personnel have infected themselves. It's not while they were taking care of the patients, but while they were removing those things. They splash everything everywhere, and it goes on everybody else. So if you do not know how to put it on, how to take it off, you do not put it on, and you do not take it off alone. You are supposed to have one assistant standing in front of you who is also gowned, but at a lower level, okay? And then there's an environmental person who is spraying you with the chlorine while you are taking it off. You take off one thing, they spray you. You take off the other, they spray you. Take off your goggles, they spray you. You take off your gloves, they spray you, so that you do not infect yourself. If you do it by yourself, you can't. You have to put your hand, your gloved hand, inside the gown to take it off your shoulder. So somebody has to be standing in front of you to remove it for you, so you do not ungown alone. That's how they got it. What else?
The cure.
I also saw the article that the CDC in America said that the serum only works on white people, but not on black people, and that there may be something in the melanin that alters the way the drug works on us. The people who were treated with the antiserum, one of them came out and said that he did not believe it was the antiserum that healed him, but it was the one, an abundance of God's grace. and then the hydration and stuff. There have been people who have recovered in Sierra Leone and Liberia who did not have any antiserum. But early presentation, aggressive management of the diarrhea and the vomiting, the hydration, and then the healthcare system will have to be stepped up a little bit. But with what we have, if we are well educated and we educate all those around us and we support the health system, okay, you know somebody, you know you are contact, you've gone to Sierra Leone, you've been exposed, just come and tell us that, look, I went here. You will be monitored. Or you know somebody who went, advise them, encourage them to cooperate with the health personnel. And I think we'll be able to contain it. The thing is not to panic and not to fear. Because when you panic, you mess everything up. Okay. And as for somebody suddenly dying from Ebola, you don't just get up and die. You have a fever. You get a diarrhea. You vomit. You get a rash. The thing is, you may not bleed all the time. Apparently, the outbreak in Sierra Leone and Liberia is they're not getting as much hemorrhagic cases as diarrhea and vomiting. The diarrhea and vomiting is really bad with this strain of Ebola. But for the ones in Eastern Africa, they had a lot of bleeding. So you may not always bleed. So please, when people come to the hospital and they are bleeding, the first thing is not Ebola. But it is possible that they may get it. But let's not panic. Let's know what to do and do it.
Okay. I think I remember a question on hand sanitizers. So one thing that Ebola has done, the alertness has done, is that we all have it in our bags and pockets all around. Well, it's a good thing, but it doesn't replace hand washing. And we can't stress on hand washing any stronger. Hand washing regularly when you get exposed or there's a high risk of you being exposed. Yes, they can be for a short-term gap because we all know that the hand sanitizers are mainly for bacterial agents. So they can kill bacteria very quickly and they can't kill viruses that quickly unless you have a certain level of alcohol in them, above 60%, I understand. So you may be having the false sense of security if you use them alone. So you should use them if there's no running water around, but it doesn't replace regular infection control measures with hand washing.
Thank you. What about domestic animals?
There's a question on the council ruling on the shaking of hands over in the interim. I've heard people saying that, you know, you cannot trouble my rights. If I want to shake hands with somebody, why should you have to stop me? And that's the reason why I stood here and I explained everything. I said, I will not shake hands. That's me. Now, what I'm trying to say is that, and we've heard it all. We've heard it all. And we know how best we can prevent this. So I explained it and I said, I will use the Japanese style of greeting. Now, the only thing is that if someone wants to shake hands with you, it's not a matter of, oh, Ebola, a war. You know, but many of that, you know, if you don't say anything, the person might think you are snobby, you are being snobby, but Ebola, a war. That is it. And the person will understand because of Ebola, please. And the person will understand. But, you know, I've heard we want to council ruling in the interim. No. Council cannot. And these are some of the things going on. No, we test the waters at times. You know, so it's not a matter of we've heard it all. What do we do? I said I will not shake hands. You know, so the same thing. If you think, just explain it. No, because of the Ebola, please. And the person will understand it. And they will move on. But I don't think council can rule on this in the interim. Thank you very much.
There was one about how long the virus remains in you after you have been cured. It is known that for the men, it remains in the semen for up to 61 days after you have been cured. So just advise yourself. And then in the women, for the breastfeeding mothers, it's expressed in the breast milk. For how long, I am not too sure, but it will be better not to breastfeed your child.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you have Ebola, then you don't have to breastfeed your child. But WHO and UNICEF are also coming up with protocols that in the alternative of breast milk also kills babies when they get diarrhea. So they are coming up with ways and means. If the person is not having the Ebola actively, they can even heat the breast milk, if that is the only thing that they can give to the child. But we are waiting for more guidance on that.
You saw the map on cholera and the concentration of cholera in the south, particularly in Accra. It's all considered areas of migration. So I hear that there was a few years ago, about 500 people from the Volta region, they carried their bags and landed in Accra. Nobody knew where they stayed and slept and pastured and things like that. So there is the something should be done about movement. In other words, the government should provide jobs for people so that they don't migrate. No, seriously. Because you see, so the concentration, there's nothing in the north. Somebody said that they are dying in the north. They are not dying in the north. There's nothing in the north. And cholera is fecal aura, like typhoid. You eat typhoid and you drink typhoid. They are making pure water in Nima and other places. So it's there are people in government here. It's a government decision. You know, when we were young, there were people in town councils going around checking things. The law is there, but it seems that this country is the law doesn't bite in this country. So we should wake up.
Thank you very much. So we'll just wrap up. Okay. So I think the last question was, how long does the virus stay after the person is dead? After some time, the virus will also die. That's why we are putting them deep down, so that it doesn't come up. The virus will eventually die when the person has died. But the fresh corpse still has the active virus looking for where to go. Then we should also be cleaning our surfaces with... The virus is very... it succumbs to disinfectants and chlorine, chlorhexidine, and others. So we should be disinfecting our surfaces if we have to. And then we are very happy that Uncle Nana Butler had a good experience at the airport. We've been trying to improve. We've had a lot of criticism, so I think the system is working, and we'll ask them to keep it up at the airports. And then there's a last one, the alum. Yeah, that was some time ago, but it's not. The alum is part of the water purification process. It removes the big sediments, but at the end of it, too, they have to also put chlorine in. So it's a big, whole process. So it's not only the alum, but the water has to be well treated and chlorinated for us to have safe water. So the greeting, I went to India, and then when I got to the airport, to the hotel, I got out of the car, and the people were welcoming me. So I stretched my hand to greet them, and then they all put their hands together. They shook their head. So I was saying, when the cholera came, I said, maybe we should be putting our hands together and shaking our heads. That's just by the way. So India has a very heavy population, but you don't see them spreading some of these diseases a lot. Maybe some of the practices, the cultural practices and the way we live. And if the person is not sick, the person will not spread the disease. So if you shake the hand of a person who is not ill with Ebola, you will not get Ebola, but because the incubation period, during the incubation period, they are not contagious. So I think those are the things that... And then the mysterious deaths in the facilities. When somebody dies of a mysterious death, we look at their symptoms. If they had any bleeding or had traveled from one of the areas or so, the fluids, the blood is tested at Noguchi. We've had a few. that we didn't know what exactly was killing them, but they all, by God's grace, they were negative. But we have to strengthen our system and be vigilant.
Thank you so much, Doug. Let's give them a big round of applause. Wonderful work done. Wonderful work done. Wonderful work done. We are proud of you. We are proud of you. Thank you so much. We are now going to commend...